today where we're going to pick this up is he's headed to the cross, big time. I mean, this is right on the precipice. This is right before he gets officially arrested and sentenced to die. And it's an illustration today of just how Jesus has got this. And next week, we're going to go to the cross. So don't miss next Sunday. Turn to somebody and say, don't miss. Don't miss next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. You can type it in the chat, too. Don't miss next Sunday. Because we're just going to focus on the cross and what Jesus did for us. And I'm believing next Sunday is going to be so powerful that people are going to be healed next Sunday in the power of Jesus that he paid for on the cross. We're going to end the service with communion next Sunday. And so it's just going to be a powerful, powerful experience. So don't miss it. But today, he's just before he's going to get to the cross. And I want to pick it up in John 18 and verse 1. And here's how John records it. He says, when he had finished praying, talking about Jesus, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. And on the other side, there was a garden. And he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. See, Jesus had places he would often go and pray. I wonder, do people know that you often do that? That you often go off and pray. The disciples did, even Judas did. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers. Now, I looked up detachment, trying to figure out what this is, and there was a little bit of range in what I could see, and either way, it represents something like 200 to 400 soldiers. So when John just records a detachment, everybody, when John wrote that, they would know what that meant. But for us, we kind of need to know what that means. It means 200 to 400 soldiers show up. And some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. And they were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. And Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him. I want somebody to know today that Jesus still knows all that's going to happen. He still knows. Maybe this week you're like, I just don't know what's going to happen. Did anybody say that? Maybe. You know, I just don't know what's going to happen. Or maybe it was in the context of our nation. You said, I just don't know what's going to happen in our nation or in the world. See, somebody did. So, what's going to happen in the world? You know, and Jesus says, I know what's going to happen. Even in your situation, come on now. Even in your situation, you may not know how it's going to turn out. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I want you to know Jesus knows what's going to happen. And so he went out and asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And watch this. Check this out. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Hundreds of these soldiers just laid out by the mention of his name. And again he asked them, who is it that you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go. Let me just stop and say, God cares so much about you. He cared so much about these men that were with him that he said, let them go. It's me you want. I'm the one you really want, so just let these men go. You serve a God today who cares about you. He cares about you. And this happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me, because John said, I heard him pray that to the Father. And then Simon Peter, don't you just love Simon Peter? What would the Bible be like without Simon Peter, you know? You ever think about that? And he had a sword, and he drew it, of course he did, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Now, he probably was not aiming for the ear. It's just the guy ducked. And the servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus wanted to let everybody know, I am not the victim here. I'm the victor. It may not look like I'm winning, but I'm winning. Because it ain't over yet. We got to save that one for 2 weeks from now, right? For Easter. Because it ain't over yet. But it looks over. It looked over here because, I mean, all these people are here to arrest him. And Jesus is like, I got this. If they wanted to arrest me, they could have done it last year. Because if you'll read your Bible, you'll find out there were multiple times where they would think, we got him. And the Bible says he slipped right through them. And even last week, we were reading how the crowd came and they were going to throw him off of this high place. And they were going to kill him. And he slipped right through them and went on his way. So he's like, I got this. If they wanted me, they could have had me a year ago. But it wasn't time yet. And now it's time. And it's interesting because he speaks this name. And to understand what's going on here, you got to go back to the book of Exodus to a man named Moses. And Moses gets called by God. God says to Moses, hey, I'm going to free my people. I've heard their cries. I'm going to free my people. I'm going to use you to do it. And Moses is like, no. And God says, yes. I'm telling you, I got the right guy. And you're going to do this. And Moses says, well, who am I that I should lead these people? And then he says, and who are you? Who am I going to say that is wanting to free these people? You want me to go to Pharaoh? And you want me to go to our people and tell 2 million people that they're ready to move? Get your shoes on. Who are you? And God says, I am that I am. And Moses maybe is thinking, yeah, well, can we do better than that? You know, because I am the God of the sun, because they got one of those in Egypt. And they've got a God of the earth, God of the sea, God of the water. They got gods all over the place. Which God are you? And God says, I am. I am all. I am everything. I am before anything else. And after anything else, I would still be I am. I am, and there is no other. I don't need to complete this thing. I am the completion of it. I am everything. I'm all in all by myself. I don't need anybody else. I'm not just Lord of the sky. I'm not just Lord of the sea. I'm not just Lord of the land. I am Lord of it all. Lord of it all. And so when Jesus speaks that name, there's power. Think about it. When the living word incarnate in the flesh speaks out that name that he uttered to Moses, it's so powerful that somewhere between 200 to 400 soldiers fall flat, as well as the Pharisees and everybody else. And Jesus is saying, I am everything. I'm everything. This situation may look out of control, but I'm in control. This couldn't even happen right now if I didn't allow it to happen. Because when Jesus speaks, every enemy must bow to him. Nothing can stand against Jesus. And that means any sickness, illness, disease, any heartache or sorrow, any situation of anxiety or fear, it makes no difference what you walked in here with. I want you to know that in the name of Jesus, everything must bow. Even alcoholism, even addictions that otherwise cannot be broken, he is Lord. He's Lord. Yeah, he's Lord. But how many of you got a relative like Peter? You know, they just add spice, right? Because you just don't know what is going to come out of their mouth today. What is this? They just bring it, you know. Family would be dull if it weren't for them. Because they bring a little bit of crazy. And Jesus is like, Peter, you know me. This couldn't even happen if I didn't want it to. That nobody is forcing me. They're not in control. I'm in control. Even though there are hundreds of them, got all these spears and swords and flaming torches and all of this, I want you to know that I just knocked all of them flat. And if I wanted to, they'd stay that way. But I'm in control. He's Lord. And Luke records this too, and I love Luke's perspective on it. In Luke chapter 22, he records the same story, but I want to share what he said about it. He said, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, you know, this does not look good. How many of your situation this past week did not look good? And it didn't look good. And they said, Lord, and notice how they address him, Lord. We'll get back to that in a moment. Should we strike with our swords? Should we do what we can do? And one of them, now he doesn't tell us who it was. This is funny to me. The Bible is funny about how it does things because John doesn't have any problem outing Peter. No problem. As a matter of fact, there's a story of we both ran to the tomb. Peter and I ran to Jesus' tomb, but I got there first. I got there first, just so you know. I got there first. And so John has no problem. Peter swung the sword, okay? Just so you know. But Luke is a little more discriminate about his story. And so he says one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. No more of your human effort. No more of you doing what you can do. No more of you reacting out of fear or out of anger or out of whatever else. No more of that. No more of this. Look at what he says. He touches the man's ear and heals him. How many, you need to be more like Jesus, right? Because some of us would say, let that dude's ear lay there. Let it be a reminder of who he messed with today, right? Don't be messing with God's people. You know? But Jesus, No, he even heals this man right here on the spot. And what it does is it shows that nothing is more powerful than Jesus. He is Lord. Even when the soldiers are there and you feel outnumbered and it feels like the odds are stacked against you, and it feels like life isn't fair, and it feels like, why is this happening to me? Why? I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me? When you don't understand, here's what you need to know, is there's never a moment when God is not in control. He is in control. He is greater than the situation. He's more powerful than the situation. And I love it. He just kind of demonstrates it that day. He says, if I wanted to, I could take over right now. If I wanted to, they wouldn't be able to lay a hand on me. I am Lord of all. What's it mean that he's Lord? It means that there is nothing that is beyond his ability, his power to deal with. He's Lord of all. But here's what the word Lord means. It's the Greek word kurios. And that word means master or ruler. And it's a very common word that they used back in that day. And there's times where it's even translated like that, like when Mary is at the feet of Jesus and she calls him master. And others would call him master. He's ruler. He's over all. And so to confess Jesus as Lord is to attribute to him all authority and allegiance above all others. Nothing above him. He's above anything and everything that tries to capture our attention and our allegiance. Is that how you feel about Jesus today? He's above everything. It doesn't make any difference what it is. He is Lord. So today, when we say Jesus is Lord, and I want to define that with a couple things, I want you to understand that what's most important today is that Jesus is my Lord, that he's your Lord, that you, when you say he is Lord, no, he's not just Lord, he's my Lord. I want you to know that he is Lord over my life. And here's what that means. It means all authority. All authority. He has all authority. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28, it says that when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Heaven and earth. In other words, I am not just God of a lot of things. I am God of all things. I'm not just God of the sky. I'm not just God of the earth. I'm not just God of this and that. I am God of all. I'm Lord of all. I'm Lord of the universe. I'm Lord of everything. And how many know to say that he's your Lord, that's easier on a bumper sticker than it is in real life, right? Jesus is Lord. Man, that's easy. Just stick it on there. But that means he's Lord of Monday. He's Lord of Tuesday. He's Lord at work. He's Lord at school. He's Lord at home. He's Lord in between. He's Lord everywhere and anywhere. He's Lord when I am tempted to doubt, when I'm tempted to fear, when I'm tempted to be stressed, when pressure comes my way, when it seems like 200 to 400 soldiers of the enemy are marching against me with swords and spears and torches, and it seems like I'm outnumbered, he is Lord, still Lord. When it's out of my control. So what I've got to do is, let me say it this way, living with a daily acknowledging he is Lord over all. See, and the key is daily. Because how many know it's easy to be Jesus is Lord from 9 to 10:30 on Sunday or 11 to 12:30 on Sunday. He is Lord. I surrender all. Oh, I sang it today. But how many know it's a little different on Monday? It sometimes gets a little tougher because what it means is like Jesus is the hub of the tire. In other words, there wouldn't even be a tire without the hub. He's holding it all together. Everything points to him. It's like Indianapolis. Hey, we're the Circle City, right? Everything points to the circle. It's the Circle City. It's like when I grew up, how many can remember this? When I grew up, my mom and dad went out and picked out a TV that was a piece of furniture, okay? I'm telling y'all, it was a piece of furniture to be added to the living room of our house. It was big. Now, the screen was only about like this, you know? We didn't look around and say, now, what wall are we going to put the TV on or whatever? There wasn't any of that. It was this big, honking wood console that went in our house. And we had a channel changer. It was, Craig, get up and change the channel for us. How many remember that, right? Didn't have to put batteries in it. There were only four, I think, to pick from, so. But here's the thing, is that they put that in the living room, in our family room, and they put it kind of in the center of the room, and then they got all the furniture and turned it so it aimed toward the TV. So the TV was like the focal point of the room. And when we say Jesus is Lord, what we're saying is he is the focal point of our family. He is the focal point of our lives. He is our life. He's our breath. He's our everything. We don't spend our money. We don't go anywhere. We don't do anything. We don't even say anything. But what we look to him and say, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would he have us to do? Because he's the focal point of our lives. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. So when I'm about to worry over my money, when I'm about to worry over my health, when I'm about to worry over my relationships, when I'm about to worry over the cares of life, the concerns of life, the struggles of life, then I say, whoa, who is Lord? And if Jesus is Lord, there's nothing he can't handle. I said there's nothing he can't handle, right? Nothing in your life. But see, this explains why some people do worry. This does explain why some people are concerned, why they fret, why they fear, why they get all upset, why they're just distraught, why there's a lot of, because the focal point is not Jesus. The focal point of their life has been substituted by things that we substitute his lordship with in our life, and we put money there. Or we put people there. Or we put pleasure there. And we say, okay, you be Lord. You be the focal point of my life. And then we wonder why we're fearful, why we're concerned, why we're afraid, why we struggle, why we're confused. Because only Jesus can be Lord of all. He's the only Lord of all. So we got to take the focus off of things that really don't matter in our lives. And when you do that, you live for his glory. See, because you look, everything's focused on him, and you say, oh, I wonder who he wants me to date. Oh, I wonder how he wants me to spend my money. Oh, I wonder what he would have me to do with my time, because my time's really his time, because he's Lord. He's Lord over me. So I really want him in control of everything. So I focus. I come around this idea. And what would bring him glory? Paul says at one point, he says, everything we do should bring him glory. Did you know why you were born? I'll tell you why. To bring him glory. To bring him glory. So maybe you do that through the way you work, through the way you conduct your work, through the way that you live your life, through the way you handle your marriage, through the way you handle your kids, through the way you handle your parents, through the way you handle things. And other people can look at that and say, wow, that's different. That's different. And the whole difference is because of the focal point, right? It's the focal point of your life. It's who's in charge of your life. And it's to honor and bring glory to him. Paul, in another situation, he says, we live to please him. To please him. And so when we do that, it attracts people that don't have that in their lives. And they say, What is the difference? And it's the focal point. It's the focal point of our lives. And let me tell you something. That's the reason why we have Growth Track here at this church. The reason why Growth Track exists is mainly because you need to know why you were born. You need to know why you exist. And that existence is to bring glory to God. Now, how are you going to get about that? How are you going to do that? Because one of the greatest days of your life is when you were born. The other greatest day is when you discover why. And so we have Growth Track to help you so that you can figure out why, so that you can have your life bring glory to God. Jesus is the focal point of our lives. He's the point. And here's the next thing. Is it means above all. When we say Jesus is Lord, it doesn't mean he's prominent in my life. See, there are a lot of people where Jesus is prominent. Like they've got jewelry about Jesus. They've got t-shirts about Jesus. They've got bumper stickers or they've got stuff about Jesus. But I'm not talking about he's prominent. You know, we pull out of our drive every Sunday that we're home and we go to Crossroads Church. Okay. I'm not talking about prominent. I'm talking about when he's Lord, he's preeminent. He's preeminent. It means everything. It means above everything else. There's not anything above him. He is the highest. Let me read this verse to you. This passage in Philippians where Paul describes it is powerful about the power of the name of Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him, talking about Jesus. Notice this, to the highest place. There's nothing higher than the place where he holds. And gave him the name that is above every name. That there's no name greater than his name. That at the name of Jesus, check this out, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. To the glory, there it is again, of God the Father. To bring God glory. I mean, when we do this, it changes everything. Changes everything in our lives. Because this name is not just like a name, it's like the name. The name above all names. The name that causes 200 to 400 soldiers to fall flat in a moment. The name that causes demons to tremble. The name that causes any demonic power that tries to array itself around your house or your household and tries to influence upon your family. I want to give you a name today that is above every name that every demonic power of hell is subject to. It's the name of Jesus. So when we pray in that name, Jesus says, the reason why you don't have what you want is because you're not praying in my name. If you'd ask in my name, it would happen. When you're subject to him, when you have come under the authority, when under the lordship. See, when Jesus speaks, demons tremble. When Jesus said, I am, the soldiers just fall flat. I want to remind you that there's not a power arrayed against you coming this week. He knows already what's coming ahead. He already knows what's coming. And so there's power in the name of Jesus. Now he is not a weak God. We're not talking about, I'm not talking about a God that you made out of wood. There's our God in the living room. You know, or a God out of glass, or a God out of stone, or a God that you made in your 3D printer. Our God made the stone, and he made the wood. And he made the heavens and the earth. And there is nothing beyond his ability and his power to do. It may look like chaos when 400 show up with their spears and their swords and their flaming torches and all of that. But Jesus says, no, I am in control. I'm Lord. It's not chaos. It's control. And I love this too, because Jesus stops to heal this dude's ear. How many of you just say, let him just remember who he messed with. Every time that guy looks in the mirror, he'll know, I messed up. You know, not like he's dead, you know. He's still got one other ear. But Jesus, see, he's Lord of a little and Lord of a lot. How many of you sometimes you're afraid or you think, you know, maybe I maybe I shouldn't write this prayer request down because I'm sure there's people here who have cancer. I'm sure there's people here who have terrible things going on in their life. They're far worse than mine. All I need is a new car, or all I need is my bill paid, or all I need is this or that or the other. And it seems like it's just an ear. It's no big deal in comparison. But I want you to know today that you serve a God who is concerned about every detail of your life. Nothing's too small. In other words, he is Lord over a lot or a little. So he heals this guy. Nothing escapes his notice. And so he goes from the big problem to the small problem. And then check this out. I want to read another passage. And it's so powerful. Because it's what happens when you put it in your mouth and speak out that Jesus is Lord. Check this out in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When you declare he is even Lord over death, we'll get there in 2 weeks, right? When he proved that he was Lord over death. But he says, when you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. The shame of your past, the shame of what you did yesterday, the shame of what you did 10 years ago, the shame of what you've been, the shame of what other people remind you of, that shame, he came to take the shame off of you. He came to say to you, not shame, but salvation for you to be redeemed by his mighty power. And Paul says, when you speak it and believe it, it happens. I like to say it this way. He scatters stars with his word, but your word scatters sin. It scatters the sin. Some of you today, you're going to declare, maybe for the first time, Jesus is Lord over my life, and sin is going to be scattered from you. But Peter is a lot like some of us. He tries to take matters into his own hands. And Jesus says, no, we're not doing that. Put that away. See, because Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty toward God to the pulling down of the strongholds. In other words, there are invisible enemies, and I don't have time to preach all that to you today, but I just want you to know some of us are fighting battles with the wrong weaponry. See, we're saying, I'm not married yet. I better get a new dating app. Oh, I better move on. I'm getting on somebody's toes right now, right? But Jesus comes up, and Jesus says, I got this. Peter, you don't have to do anything. Peter, quit jumping out there and getting ahead of me. I got this. Trust me, if I can cause 200 to 400 of these guys to fall down, if I wanted to, they'd stay down. But I'm fully aware of everything that's going to happen, and Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. I got this. And Jesus would speak to somebody's chaos today, to your situation, or it feels like everything's against you, when the money is so tight and the kids are so out of control and the chaos and maybe the diagnosis or the anticipation of a diagnosis, you don't even know what's wrong yet. You just got the pain. You just got the difficulty. You just got the challenge. You're almost afraid to go check it out. And some of you, your job situation or your business situation, you're wondering, are we going to even make it through this year? And how's this going to turn out? And how is this going to be fixed? And Jesus says, I've got the answer to both. I know how it's going to turn out, and I've got it. I've got this. You can trust me. I've got a plan. It seems that there's no plan. It seems like this is chaos, but believe me, you're going to see it in a few days. I'm in total control because I can even make a way where there seems to be no way. When it seems like, how many remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and it looked like, oh, what a day this is. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, that Moses is awesome. Aren't we the most awesome people? Has everybody got your t-shirt on? I'm awesome. And they're marching out. And then they get to the Red Sea and they're like, hold up. What is that? And then there are mountains on the sides. How many remember this? And then they start hearing something. And they turn around, 2 million of them. And they look, and here are the chariots of Egypt coming behind them. And all of a sudden, Moses, what kind of map reader are you? What kind of idiot are you to bring us out here? Could we not be buried back in Egypt? We're going to be buried out here. And Moses, like, God, these people, he says, I know, I got this. I got this. And he splits a sea. How many believe that? He splits a sea in half and allows his people to march to the other side. I want somebody to know today, when you're facing a sea in front of you and mountains around you and the chariots of hell, it seems, are pounding behind you, and it seems like you're surrounded and that nothing can help, I want you to know that we still serve the God who splits seas in half, who is able to raise the dead, who is able to cause anything to happen, because he is Lord. He's Lord. So here's what this comes down to today. It is what we started out with, is who is he to you? Is he your Lord? In other words, is he the focal point? You know, is his throne the focal point of your life? Does everything, have you arranged everything in your life around his lordship so that he is Lord, Lord of all, Lord of your finances, Lord of your future, Lord of every aspect of your life? Every day, it's about what would bring glory and honor to my Lord. That's what it is. So see, it's kind of like this. I just thought I'd illustrate it today like this. That it's like Jesus, take the wheel. How many are ready to sing Carrie Underwood's song right now? All right, so enough of that. Jesus, wherever you want me to go, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, Lord, you just drive there. You just take me there. You lead the way. Jesus, I submit everything to you, my life, my livelihood, my relationships, every aspect of my life. Lord, I don't want to even make any decision but what I'm in full comprehension and submission to your lordship over my life. But how many of you know that it kind of can work this way? Where, you know, you got Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, lead my life. Lord, I surrender all. I'll sing it again, Lord, if you want me to. I'll sing the next verse. You take the wheel. Lord, there's something coming down the road here. Maybe you could just kind of move over there a little bit, all right? Just kind of, if I could just get one cheek here, Lord, you know, just a little bit. And I just put this hand up here, okay, Lord. You be Lord. And you're Lord of my life. And all about, I'll just kind of be right here next to you. But Lord, look at what's coming here. I think we need to do something here, Lord. Jesus, if you could just scoot over a little bit there. Just scoot over a little bit. I'll go ahead and get two hands. But you keep your hands up here too, Lord. And oh, Lord, there's some more going on there. Jesus, if you could just kind of move over there for a moment. Jesus, now don't leave the car. Hello, somebody. Don't leave my car. But if you could just, maybe you could sit in the back seat and just kind of bless everything I'm doing. And bless it. Let me tell somebody something. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He's not your co-pilot. He will not sign up to be co-pilot of your life. He will not sign up for being the backseat driver of your life. In other words, it's what I've heard before, is either Jesus is Lord of all or not Lord at all in your life. And so my position must be, Lord, take the wheel of my life. Lord Jesus, sit on the throne of my life because you are Lord. And all the universe points to you. You hold all things together. And even when it seems out of control, you are in control. So Lord, I kneel before you and I put my money before you and I put my time before you. I put my talents before you. I give my kids to you. I give my future to you. Lord, I just lay it all before you and I surrender everything. If you want to go to the left, we're going to go to the left. If you want to go to the right, we're going to go to the right. If you don't pick either one and you just keep barreling ahead, Lord, I will trust you because you can split the sea in the middle so that I can walk across to the other side. You are Lord of all. Give it to you. That's what some of you need to do today. How many of you, maybe you've been swinging a few swords lately, trying to take matters into your own hands, trying to make something happen, trying to fight it in the flesh, trying to come against spiritual things with natural things. It's the reason why you struggle. It's the reason why you're stressed. It's the reason. Today, let's give it to him. Maybe wherever you are right now, just raise your hands right now. If you've got something, say, Lord, I need to surrender my kids to you today. I need to surrender my marriage to you. I need to surrender my future marriage to you. Lord, I need to surrender my money to you, my job to you, my health, God. I need to give it to you. Just give him all of it today. Just give him all of it today. Lord, we just put our hands out right now. And we give that diagnosis to you. We give our marriage to you. We give our problems to you. We give our challenges to you. We give the circumstances of every part of our life to you. We say, God, Jesus, take the wheel. We don't want to be in the driver's seat. We've done that too often. But we want you to take us where you want to go. We want to surrender all to you today. And really all of our lives. Just give him everything. Just say, Jesus, take it all. Jesus, take it all. Take it all. I give it to you, Lord. Lord, I give it to you. I want you in the driver's seat. I don't want to try and push you out, Lord. Lord, you be in charge of my life. God, in the name of Jesus, let your peace that transcends all understanding keep the minds of those who fully surrender to you today. Everything, 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 everything at your feet. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, there's some in here, the reason why. This is the explanation of why your life feels empty. This is the explanation of why more money, more relationships, more passion, more things that money can buy never seem to satisfy completely. It's the reason why that there's still, even after all of your experiences in life, there's still this nagging emptiness that's there. There's still this thing of there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. I want to tell you what that something more is. It's a relationship with the living God himself who made us, who created us. And until we have that relationship with him, we'll never have the joy and satisfaction that comes with him being Lord over our lives. So today, if you're here in this service or you're watching online and you say, oh, Craig, that's got to be it. I know that's it. The Spirit of God is speaking to me right now. I don't know how else to explain it, but there's a drawing. There's a need of God in my life. I want you to raise your hand right now all over this room. If that's you, you need to surrender to God. You need Jesus to come into your life today. He says, if you'll confess me with your mouth, if you'll believe in your heart, you will be saved. Hands all over this room. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. Come on, everybody, pray this prayer. So those around you who raised a hand will pray it with great faith and fervency. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I thank you that if I confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I can be saved. From this moment forward, I surrender all to you. Jesus, be Lord of my life and come in the power of your Spirit to help me live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's praise him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, if you made a commitment in this service today, there are words that you can text as a next step from where you are. Or if you're online, you can text those words. If you already said decided in the chat, that's awesome, but we want to help you continually take your next step. There's a Next Steps room right across the hall, and in just a couple weeks, we're going to have baptisms again. And one of the biggest, most powerful memories of your life is when you show on the outside what God's done on the inside, and you do that through baptism, and we'd love to help you to do that. I also know that there may be some of you, we had somebody in the first service, that they were just like who I was talking about. I didn't know, but they had gotten one of those diagnosis things this week. And I just said, hey, if you need to come down, if you need to kneel and just declare Jesus as Lord over my anxiety, He's Lord over my depression. He's Lord over my fear. He's Lord over my kids. He's Lord over my marriage. He's Lord, whatever it is that you just need to declare that he is Lord over it. And she came down and people gathered around here, our prayer partners, and prayed for her and encouraged her today. That may be you in this service. You just need somebody to pray with you and to pray for you. So let's stand to our feet. Prayer partners, come forward right now. I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal, but if you need prayer, don't leave. Come down here and receive the prayer that you need today. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing in our church. We thank you that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you that that means there's not a problem, not a difficulty you can't handle. Holy Spirit, draw every person down who needs prayer today. Meet needs, do miracles in this altar, we ask. And we help us, God, to proclaim this week that Jesus is Lord.